When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Ellie, press the button and come and sit
and
down.
Quickly sit down.
Yes.
Run!
Oh, no! Oh, no. Was that the camera?
Let's start again.
No, we're not starting again.
I'll get back.
Is it a fungus?
Okay. Yeah.
We were told we should do a podcast.
Not because you're wrong.
We were told we should do a podcast.
Now we're doing a podcast.
Yeah, now we're doing a podcast with Ellie Word Up. Ellie.
So that, what you've just witnessed there is a result of the fact that we're actually interviewing Ellie in this podcast, and she's had to run over from the producer desk.
So she's doing two jobs at the moment.
Hello.
Hello.
Sorry I knocked that very expensive camera.
Hey, no, that's okay. It's still standing, so I think we're fine.
Okay,
I'm just
cool.
Just really writing down questions here because I plan things 5 minutes in advance.
So, actually.
Yeah. Ellie, what's up?
What's up? Nice to be here. Thank you for having me.
Welcome.
Have you ever been in this podcast room before?
No, it's weird actually. It's very new to me, this whole scenario. Yeah.
Have you ever been involved in another podcast before?
No, I haven't either.
This
is the only podcast I've ever done.
Have you ever been involved in any kind of audio medium?
No, even radio.
Not even radio. Bizarre.
So the irony is that she's done all of these things. And we're joking. We mean the exact opposite.
How many years, we're kind of jumping here, but how many years were you doing radio before you jumped over to Viva?
I was with radio for 5.5 years.
Wow.
So it was quite a while, yeah. But 3 years of that, three and a half years of that was with radio stations, and then a year and a half was in like sales and promos and stuff.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to get straight into it. So Viva fans know you as our old social media manager,
mm-hmm.
actor, writer, podcaster, personality, friend. But who are you?
Ellie.
But who are you really?
Ellie, look at me.
Straight at Ron.
Look at me.
Who are you?
This is really existential.
Yeah.
I didn't
straight into it.
Who is Ellie?
What I don't even know the answer to that question, guys.
Well, what did you, when you were a kid,
mm.
what did you want to be when you grew up?
When I was a kid, I genuinely wanted to be like Hannah Montana type. Like I
yeah.
wanted to be a pop star that acted, like did all of the, I just wanted to be a pop star. But living in New Zealand, growing up in New Zealand, you're kind of shrunk down in your brain because you go, I'm never going to be there. So I'll just dream it and I'll just act out scenes in my lounge and perform for my parents and stuff like that. So I kind of limited myself quite instantly with that dream. It was kind of like, I'd love to do that, but that's not going to happen.
Mm.
But then to be fair, working with Viva La Dirt League is actually pretty damn close to it, if I'm honest. Like, I didn't think I'd end up doing something like this.
Yeah.
I still need to have my pop solo, though, guys. I still need to actually get on.
Yeah,
singing
I didn't realize this was a we need to get on there.
The Hannah Montana pop solo.
Yeah. We can make this happen.
You can perform in the
green screen and we'll put you anywhere in the world.
Oh my gosh, you could.
I can, obviously, I can definitely relate to, as a child, I was like, I assumed every child wanted to be famous.
Yeah.
Is it probably not true?
Well,
for...
I don't know. I don't think I necessarily wanted to be famous, but I wanted to accomplish big things.
Mm.
But we were talking about on the Lord of the Rings episode that we did. For me, Lord of the Rings was the moment I was like, I kind of was... believed that New Zealanders could accomplish big things.
Yeah.
For you, was there a moment there where you were like, oh, holy shit, Kiwis can do this stuff? Or did you just not like chip away at it?
It's funny, eh? Because also being a woman's different too.
Yeah.
Like representation obviously matters quite a lot. And obviously growing up, men were more in the spotlight with many things. I think when Lorde won a Grammy, I was like, oh, wow, a Kiwi artist, female, did that. But that was when I was like... already like 24, so that it was kind of like too late by then. I was like,
already let go of all your hopes and dreams.
Exactly. Like
adulthood had already gone, get fucking real, bitch.
But I guess getting into radio, because radio is kind of where you started.
Radio was my first kind of enjoyable job. Like that was like my first job out of uni where I was like, oh, this is quite fun. But I kind of fell into it. Like I only started working as a part-time promo worker and then eventually kind of thought, I quite like this. I could work my way up here, and then I worked my way up. So it was kind of an accident.
Yeah.
Weirdly.
So we all worked with them. This is kind of a spoiler, but how did we all meet?
How did we meet?
The origin story.
What's the origin story there?
So the first initial origin story is I was living with someone who worked at NZME with you guys, and he was a fan of your music videos, your early music videos. It's a Saturday Night was a personal fave.
Can we can play a little bit of that right
yeah,
now?
Right,
we can play a little bit of that. It's a Saturday night. It's a Saturday night, put your cologne on. It's a Saturday
night. Tonight's the night, we're gonna do it. So he came home one day and went, oh, Ellie, you'll love this, come watch this. So he showed me that video, found it hilarious. So I started kind of watching your really early Viva videos. Then I was at a party with this flatmate and Rowan was there. And I went up to Rowan and I was like, hey, Rowan, I'm Ellie. And then I just was like, it's a Saturday night. And like sung it to him.
Is this literally? Is that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember this.
You might have even been
at that party.
Being at a party with you, because you were single at the time and partying again.
Yeah, I was partying hard.
I think partying hard, and I was just like trying to tag along, and I was not single, but I would still party. I vaguely remember the house and meeting. I don't know if it was the first time we met.
Yeah, I definitely met Rowan first at this party, sung the song, and Rowan said in the moment, oh my gosh, you watched my videos?
Yeah.
First moment,
you're the one view that we got. You're the one.
I was the first fan. And Rowan, I remember being very sort of taken aback, like, oh wow, people actually listen to us. I was like, yeah, I love it. It's awesome. You guys were filming bored and you had an idea for a girl. And I must have been hanging out with Rowan and said, I used to act as a kid, really, like ages ago. And he was like, oh, well, we actually do want to do a couple of skits with a girl. Would you just want to come and do it? Because this was when you guys were very sort of like,
you
fit the criteria.
Like, you're like, I'm a girl. And then I came along and acted, and then I literally never left.
Yeah.
And then we ended up working together at NZME, and then, And then
God, how many episodes ago was that aboard?
Hey, Ellie, you're a girl, right?
It's literally what it was pretty much like.
I believe this is it.
Do you know what? you're a girl, and we're looking for a girl.
Yeah. And oh my God, this is a match made in heaven. This is serendipitous. Yeah. Oh my God. I would love to, if only there was a way to figure out how many episodes ago that was.
That is one of those beautiful butterfly effect or cause and effect moments where if I didn't happen to be at that random party, there's one of those chances where we may never have continued down that path.
Yeah.
Oh, I think about that quite a lot. I've thought about that quite a lot in my whole career with Viva, because I honestly go like, wow, if I hadn't gone up to Ron, first of all, if my friend hadn't shown me the video, and then I didn't go up to you and I didn't quote your video, and then you didn't think about meeting a girlfriend. Like, there's many worlds where that could not have happened.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
And so I feel really lucky that there was that lucky serendipitous moment where I just met you and it was just all right timing, right time. Yeah, it was perfect. And then, I literally just never left.
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy. It's
amazing. And it is hilarious, though, thinking, because we were not getting many views. So the chances of your flatmate having seen these videos at all is absurdly low.
Insane.
So you play Ellie in Bored.
I do.
Yeah. What is your what other roles do you play?
So I play Ellie in Bored. I also play Buble Boo in the current Tales of the Misfits D&D series that you can watch now every Tuesday
every
on the D&D channel.
Is there four episodes up? Five.
There's five now. Five. Yeah. What else do I play? I play a couple of characters in Wildcard skits sometimes. I have a ranger character in Epic NBC Man. I haven't played that one many times though. Was that it? Now I'm trying to think. Like, what else have I done?
Yeah.
I played an NPC in Balan's Rout.
That's
that. That was fun.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
And I also actually started, not a Viva thing, but you wrote another show called Intern that I starred in.
Which we did like three seasons of?
Yeah, we did.
And you directed one of the seasons.
And you did,
Yeah, technically, yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
That was a long time ago. That was a long time ago. For NZME.
Yeah.
That was for NZME.
Yeah, yeah.
It was in like 2017, 2018, I think. But it was basically a show about being an intern at a radio station. And it was sort of like paralleling my actual life. It was real weird.
Yeah.
I wasn't actually an intern, but I was kind of wanting to be a producer on a show. And that was the story of that.
Can you find that anywhere anymore?
I think they might be on ZM Online, maybe,
the
website. I think you can still find them. And I hope you can, because I loved that show.
I was really proud of them. I actually would want to go back and revisit some of those, because there were some episodes where I was like, this is dope.
It was really fun.
Interns on ZM Online. Yeah.
I remember, because I'd been making plenty of Viva skits, but that was the first time like, you said, do you want to direct a thing?
Yeah.
And I've never felt so much imposter syndrome. Oh. Yeah, like, I was like, I guess technically I'm capable of doing this.
Yeah.
Okay, sweet, sure. And they're just kind of going like, what? How do I make shots? What's it? Do I film the thing?
Do you have any memories from Rowan directing?
I remember feeling very comforted knowing Rowan was directing.
Yeah.
I hadn't done a lot of acting except for with you guys on board sets. And that was quite like rogue at the time. It was very, this was like, there was actually like a proper sound in, like all these people. Yeah. So having Rowan there was like my safe space of like, oh yeah, I know the director. Okay, sweet.
Yeah.
I feel safe now. So I liked Rowan directing me because he knew me well too. So he could... Yeah. Communicate well with me.
Yeah.
Kind of like, I actually enjoyed you directing me. Yeah.
And was Tom the camera?
I think Tom was. And I remember kind of going like, I actually get a wide shot. And he was going, why don't you get this shot and that shot? I'm like, do that. that's what I was going to say.
No, that is a large part. That sounds very much like a director to me.
Yeah.
A lot of the time. The cinematographer, and a lot of the sets I've been on, like especially with Tom, he could hypothetically run the set without.
Yeah. Yeah.
If he had the permission to say action, the set would, everything would happen.
Which sometimes he does. And I'm like, might as well.
We're just waiting on you.
Yeah.
I am definitely going to go revisit. Was the last season that you directed?
I think it was season two that you directed, actually. It was the middle one.
I direct more than one episode?
I think you did the
whole season,
bro.
Yeah. Because we filmed it in like, I don't know, 2 or 3 days because they were like 6 episodes long. And Britt Scott Clark was in season 3 as well.
That's right. We need to link this.
Yeah, we do. And you know, that's that is the first time Britt and I had been on camera together. So even though we were both with Viva, we'd never actually crossed over in the Viva universe. And then we were an intern. Yeah.
And it's no spoiler that you kill her in this, right?
Yeah, I pretty much just kill her.
Yeah, dude. Oh,
okay. You're not taking my screen time, bitch.
You're not taking my screen time. You kill Britt. Well, do you have a favourite, out of all the shows and sketches and stuff that we do, well, first of all, do you have a favourite show, favourite series?
I do love Bored, but I mean, I'm in it, which probably makes me a bit biased towards that show. I love the retail humour. I love all our characters. I find it really easy and entertaining. And I also love the old Bored too. I think I like Bored because there's been such an evolution of it. Yeah. And it's just so cool to see.
Oh my God, it's changed so much.
So much. I think that'd be my favourite. I also like our Wildcard skits though too, because they're relatable. And I mean, Epic NBC Man, that's like on a whole other level. That's in terms of its technical production, Epic NBC Man I think is the most insane stuff that Viva does in terms of just the budgets and the... Well, not even the budgets. We're doing it quite... Like economically, I would say. It's all just creativity, which is why I like that one. I'm a bit of a gamer, so there's some humor that I don't quite get in the NBC Man world because I'm like, I don't know what that means. But I just love all of them. And I will say, special shout out to Balan's Route because that one, I watched that about maybe like a month or two ago just to reminisce. And I was just watching it and I was just crying because I was so like proud of it, first of all. All these memories are coming back of filming it. Your acting, Rowan, is just like, I was watching you going like, how does someone do one line and do it so differently and just actually plays a whole character with one line? Amazing. So good.
Oh my God, you made me cry.
It wasn't too bad, Rob.
Yeah, and obviously the writing and the concept
wasn't a bad script
just,
either.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So that one's definitely a special shout out. I have a lot of fond memories filming that.
Yeah.
And yeah, that was really fun.
Yeah.
How's your character developed over Bored?
Good question.
Because that one's been an interesting one.
It has.
You literally came on, literally, your character is the girl.
Yeah.
That's all it was.
That was it.
Yeah.
And it's something that's kind of had to slowly kind of evolve. And especially since coming to the news store, it's kind of, we've deliberately kind of tweaked it again.
Yes, that's a really interesting question. When I first started as a Bored character, yes, I was just the girl. I was kind of a meeker kind of character with the three boys, didn't really know the environment, was kind of, there wasn't really anything crazy to my character. It was just the fact that I was the only girl there, I think. And then, but I kind of took on the whole, I'm the smartest one of like, you know, when we moved studios and you guys were all still at the old studio and I'm the one going, where are you? So I was kind of like that smart character, I guess, that kind of led us in some ways. Then I kind of turned into working out how to manipulate Rowan with my pay rises.
That's a big one.
And that was fun. I love those
episodes.
That's
my favourite. Yeah.
Yeah, I love those episodes. But then when we moved into the new studio, I'm now way more barely even smile, bored as angry because I'm not getting paid my $183 or whatever it was.
Per hour,
yeah. So I now am a lot more gives no fucks kind of character. And I quite like playing it. It's quite fun to just...
Yeah.
And I love that I'm able to manipulate you, Rowan.
So one of the most defining moments, I think, for your character was the moment where you start manipulating Rowan to get the pay rise. And there's something about that that kind of started to define your character.
Yes.
You kind of get the rules of the street.
Yeah, I agree. I think that was a very pivotal moment for me. And I finally felt like I had a little bit more direction, because before that I was sort of just, the girl who was kind of sweet and inoffensive, didn't really do a lot apart from the girl gamer skit where I'm punching the VR. That was quite fun.
Yeah, that was great.
But yeah, I'd say that's a pivotal time where I went, I get my character more now.
Yeah.
I can see where I can go with this a bit more.
Your character has always kind of represented the one person that knows the rules of the street. You can kind of get on Rowan's wavelength and control him in a way. And that was also the way you were introduced to the whole series. You're a girl. And I'm paralyzed. Like, you're a girl.
Yeah.
You're a girl. And then we came to Tech Town, and we decided to do kind of a solid shift in how your character no longer cares. In fact, you've signed out, you've quiet quit in a way.
Yeah.
And that was because you got to pay, you lost. That was part
everything.
Of it. Yes. When you came here, that's right, I forgot about that. When you came here, you got a massive pay cut.
Everything was reset. Yeah. It was so myself and Adam probably got massive pay rises.
Yeah.
And you just got the biggest pay cut.
Huge.
Imaginable. Yep. Probably like 80%. Life-changing. Whatever life you're living, which I would actually love to see what life you're living outside of Tech Town on $183 an hour. Probably pretty lavish.
Yeah.
But you've been brought back down to minimum wage-ish.
Yeah. Yeah.
And your character has not adjusted well.
No.
To this.
No.
Completely switched out.
Yeah. She's checked out. She's done.
And she's become an agent of chaos a little bit. I want to explore this more in future episodes. But I'm very much looking forward to, I think we've briefly spoken about it, Ellie finding a way to reclaim this. Figuring out the system of Tech Town and manipulating Rowan. The unfortunate thing is Rowan now is not the person you need to
That's the thing. That's
manipulate.
Why it's a bit more complex.
It's a bit more complex.
Things going on. So I'm going to have to be more clever, I think, in manipulation.
To climb that ladder
I still want to have an episode where you, I don't know how to set it up, but basically you're having a meeting with Rowan, and you're like, Rowan, I think I need a pay cut. I think I'm being paid too much or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
And you go through this and somehow maybe we can just kind of, I don't know what the rules of Tech Town are with Ree being my boss or whatever.
Yeah.
Going, oh yeah. Okay. I think that's fair. Let's implement that pay cut. So how much are you on? Maybe we'll just get back into the...
Maybe it's simply Ree goes on holiday.
Yeah.
And that's your time to strike or something.
Yeah, I'm like,
oh my God, now I can swoop in.
Yeah.
We got to get you... I feel like your pay is your entire character's main...
objective.
Your journey is how do I fucking get back to that...
Yeah.
Back to Hobbiton.
Yeah, back to Hobbiton. You got to get back home.
Yeah.
So you were... our social media manager.
I was. Yeah,
you
was.
Were for, oh. I know, was. For how long?
It was 3.5 years.
3.5 years.
Yeah, I came across in the midst of 2020, that big old year there.
What happened that year?
Yeah, it was quite a big thing. I don't know if you, do you not remember that?
I don't remember
that
year
quite
at all.
A concerning situation.
But
I got a job at Viva. That's what happened that year.
So it was just
exciting.
A great year overall.
It was great.
Yeah, great, great.
Good. Great year for you guys because I joined.
Yeah.
So I joined in 2020 and then I left at the end of last year, 2023. So yeah, it was 3.5 years. Yeah.
And how did you find your time as the social media manager for Viva?
Well, it's awkward because I'm talking to my bosses right now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, yeah. How did you find it, Ellie?
Yeah, it was really good. I was so honored to have that role because I was the first employee. It was similar to the board. It was like art imitating life again, or life imitating art.
Yeah,
where I was
absolutely.
Your next employee.
Yeah.
And like,
first
I
employee.
Was, yeah,
yeah.
Like I was joining the three of you guys in your business.
Well, I remember releasing that post on Facebook about you joining and just went gangbusters.
Yes.
It was like such, it was just I think it was just an image.
Yeah,
I'd be like, welcoming our first employee, and the fans were so excited that, and it did, just felt like such a natural.
Yeah. No, the fans were so welcoming to me, first of all, and also they really were so lovely with helping me with the job too, especially our moderators. I want to shout out our moderators.
Yeah.
They really helped me learn Discord because I hadn't actually really used it. The fans were key in actually helping me kind of even learn about the community because I'd only really been an actor with you guys, so I wasn't in amongst the community like you three were, or the mods or our fans were, so they helped me a lot actually learn. And I really, one thing I loved about that role is actually the connection I ended up having with the fans, because I ended up kind of being the community manager and getting to interact with all the wonderful people that support Viva. So that was a really nice part of it. I also felt really honored to kind of be trusted with this first role that you'd created and said, Ellie, go and do that, I guess. And I was like, I guess I will do that. So it was challenging in ways because it was a role that was not defined. So in some ways, that's really exciting because you can do what you want. But then other ways, it's like, Where's the goal? Yeah. Where's the goalpost? I'm not sure. I'm just going to guess. So I really enjoyed it. It was a great experience. It became actually probably some ways more than social media. Like when we did the Kickstarter, I ended up kind of helping run that. And there was a lot more to it. But I enjoyed all the little different pies I got to dip my hand in. I didn't. I was sad to actually leave that role.
Well, like it became a beast of a role, right?
It did.
I don't think we fully understood what we were getting you into when we signed you up as social media manager.
We kind of went like, hey, this is the title. Good luck. I don't even know what the role is.
Yeah.
Like on set, taking photos, Instagram, that's about my understanding of the
role. Yeah, I think I imagined it as it would be pictures for Instagram and Facebook and then thumbnails and then behind the scenes videoing a little bit, and that was about it. But it ended up being so much more.
That was just the surface.
There was a lot, and I think because I was the first employee, and you guys were still kind of it was when I joined, you guys were sort of still running a whole lot of stuff within the business whilst trying to act and direct and write and blah blah blah.
Yeah.
So I ended up naturally kind of I think taking more on because you needed to let stuff go, which I was happy to do. But it got to a point last year where I was like, I'm too old for this role. Like I genuinely was like, I think you guys are going to be better off with a Gen Z who gets social media better than now I do. Because 31, I'm actually kind of old in internet years.
Isn't that bizarre?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I started feeling like, oh, I don't know if I can do this role justice anymore. I also, there was elements of personal stuff where I did want to go and focus more on creative stuff. So there was that element of it. However, there was also the element of, I genuinely don't think I'm the best person for this job, and I want someone with like who's young, has more energy than me, and also just get social.
There's
one of those. Yeah, exactly what you're saying. There is that you can't. This can't quantify young energy in some ways in some parts of business.
Yeah, like, yeah. I feel like that role is one that because I imagine Tara will reach a point. Who's our new social media manager? Yeah. Manager?
I think she's a social media coordinator. I think it was a restructure sort of when all that happened. Yeah.
And there will come a point that she's like, hey, I want to move on from this. And that role again will be filled by somebody Tara's age again.
Yeah. Probably. Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably. Yeah.
And it has to be that way because it's just so non-stop.
Exactly.
And you need to be on the trends of things.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
She's killing it.
She is. I'm so impressed with Tara.
My God.
I'm really like proud of her, and she's doing just such a fantastic job doing all these minor things where I go, yes, that's what I couldn't do, or that's what I was missing, or even just her little captions are just more...
She just
writes them well, and I really feel confident in the fact that she is now doing that role. I'm really happy she's got that role.
Yeah, she's killing it.
But what made me realize how complex the role was is having to teach someone.
Yeah.
That bit, I was like, oh my God, how do I teach this job that I've done for 3.5 years, which has changed so much. So bringing it all back and going, okay, I guess this piece is important. That piece is not important. So that was quite a complex thing to actually teach her.
Yeah.
But I think she's got it now. I think she's doing really well. And I'm really happy that she's kind of taken the torch and she's doing really well.
Great handover because she's smashing it.
Yeah. Good.
What were some of the most challenging parts of moderating?
Oh, that's
because there'd be a lot of stuff that we probably
we don't even see.
Dealt with some of it, only a small fraction of it.
First of all, having moderators and fans all around the world means that I could have a message at 2 a.m. from a mod saying, there's a horrible person on this video that needs to be banned, for example. And obviously, I wouldn't always see them at 2 a.m. But there was that feeling like you're on a hamster wheel going, oh, I can't. I feel like I'm not doing them justice. Like they're working for us or like helping us run our pages and keep them safe. But I felt like I couldn't quite keep up a lot of the time. Also, moderating comments when I'm in the videos was a very interesting kind of conflict of, not interest, but it was a weird dynamic where I was having to read some negative comments about myself and moderating them, or reading comments about my friends like you guys or Brett or whatever.
Yeah.
And that whole kind of like complex thing was weird. And then also sometimes when, you know, I have so much care for our fans and our community, and sometimes if people were going through a hard time or they opened up to me or they opened up to someone else and then they've come to me to say they've told me this, handling all of that information is really complex. And also because it's such a new world, you don't really have an instruction manual for running an online community because they're just so new. Like it's so, for me, it was the challenges of moderating which posts should even stay up in our Viva La Dirt League Facebook squad. Like, should that stay there? Is that on topic? Should I delete that? No, that, just all of that. Everything was kind of like a case by case basis.
Yeah.
And that's why teaching Tara that part of the role too was really difficult. But she has such good instinct and initiative, which I think in itself, I would hire her over anyone because she kind of gets it. She's been in fandoms herself. And that was a really important part for me when I was interviewing people. They had to understand fandom because it's so... complex. But yeah, those are probably the biggest challenges. It was more just a huge responsibility, I think, that I felt care for as well. And yeah. I love these fans, and like they're giving their time, especially the moderators. So yeah, I just felt like I just wanted to give them hugs.
You were very much on the same wavelength as us, I guess, to some extent, where it's never off.
Yeah.
Viva never stops.
No. Yeah, exactly.
Which is something that I think we both struggled to deal with from time to time. It's just I'm predominantly talking about messages and Slack and that kind of thing. But I stopped, unfortunately, engaging as much because it was just impossible to keep up.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
We interrupt this broadcast with an important message. Did you know that D&D, our D&D campaign, is now in podcast form? Both campaigns in podcast form. Audio only, so you can listen in your car or, you know, going for a walk. Well, there's different places and ways you can listen. It's all available in podcast form and different podcast platforms. Thank you, Rowan. Now back to the... thank you, Ben. Thank you, Rowan. Now back to the campaign. Not campaign, back to the podcast.
Nailed it.
Okay, so that is social media. What's your new role with Viva?
Well, I am producing this lovely podcast I'm speaking on right now.
Oh my goodness.
So I get to spend every week with you guys listening to you talk shit.
Yeah.
So that's quite a good job, actually. I just get to just listen to you talk shit.
Talk shit. Pretend to know what we're talking about.
Exactly. And then edit it to try and make you sound even more like you're talking shit. No. So editing and producing the podcast. I'm still acting. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of still technically social media consulting, but that's very few hours. It's more if Tara needs me, wants me, I help her. So that's kind of like a really small kind of role.
Yeah.
I also, one of my goals is to really start writing more for Viva. I would really like to write more for Viva and like attend more writers' rooms. And I attended one the other day, actually, and I wrote a script yesterday, actually.
Ooh,
yeah, so we'll see if it gets published. Ooh. But so I'd love to get to more into more writing. And then is that all I do at the moment? Yeah.
I mean, that's a bunch.
I think
that's
it's a bunch.
That's a bunch.
Yeah.
And we were just before very, very briefly about playing video games and that kind of thing. But is there, how nerdy is Ali? How nerdy is Ali?
I'm not nerdy to the level that I would say you kind of guys are. I'm a bit cooler. No, jokes. No, I love
I wouldn't
nerd
argue
culture.
With that. I wouldn't argue with that.
No, I love nerd culture, but I'm not in the depths of it. Like, I haven't I've video games since I was a kid, but I'm not to the extent where you guys have done hours and hours and hours of it.
Yeah.
That's why Epic and Seaman sometimes might go a little bit over my head, but it's still funny and entertaining.
Yeah. Thank you for saying that.
Yeah, no worries. Yeah.
Well, actually, you've got a little quick plug for Ali. You've got another podcast, actually.
I do, actually.
Which is all to do, is it all to do with video games?
So it's actually a gaming podcast. Yeah. It's hilarious.
Which is hilarious.
Here you go, Ali. Here's a quick, you do your little plug.
Oh, thank you.
Have a plug.
Okay, so the other thing I'm doing at the moment, whilst I'm still working with Viva, is I've got my own podcast, and it's called Extremely Casual Gamers, which is in the name, really.
That fits.
Very casual.
That
and
tracks.
So it's me and two other guys. One of the guys, actually, was in the Mac repair video, old report. Repair video.
Does Guy fit that? His name is Guy. And is he a very casual gamer or is he a pretty hardcore gamer?
He's like casual too. He's a dad, so he gets to play at night when his daughter's asleep and his wife's in bed or whatever. And then Chris, he's a bit more into the nerd culture. He's a bit more nerdy, has way more knowledge than us. But again, he's a radio host, so he's really busy. So we all just kind of dip our toes in a little bit a week. But that was kind of the point of our podcast. We want to kind of target the people who do play games, but they don't play hours on end, and they're not that stereotypical gamer. They're just kind of, they might even just play Candy Crush on their phone, and we want our podcast to kind of relate to that. So that's my podcast.
I'm falling more into this category now.
Are
which
you?
I used to be such a hardcore gamer.
Yeah.
And it's slowly becoming a revelation to me that I don't have the luxury to play video games anywhere near as much as I would love to.
Exactly.
Adult life and dad life, and I just have to prioritize, and unfortunately gaming is the thing that's at the bottom rung that I will do whenever I can.
Yeah, yeah.
And so it's not a choice for me. Like, it's like it is a choice, but it's something, it feels like
a forced choice.
It's a forced choice. And I don't want my gaming to be, this is why I'm like, I'm hardly on Overwatch or these other games anymore. My gaming time is so limited that I'm like, I have to make sure I get something satisfactory out of this. So I'm just prioritizing single player games at the moment. And I feel like it's a weird thing.
Yeah.
Just getting into this narrative stuff. The only online games I do really now is just on Boys Night, where we do from time to time, which is hypothetically tonight, which probably, I don't know, might happen. but yeah, not to hijack.
No, that's all right. You might actually enjoy our podcast.
I might enjoy our podcast because I think I'm becoming that. And you used to stream.
I did use to stream.
You did use to stream, and are you going to stream again?
Do you know what? Great question, Ellen, because I actually am. So I finally have a room and a space where I can set it up as my own. My partner and I live together. We own a house, but it's a very small house,
yeah.
And he works from home, so the office is just taken up by his stuff. Yeah. So now I've got a new rental room next door, which I'm going to set up as a streaming space.
Hell yeah.
And I'm going to start streaming again.
Oh,
my and
play hell
games
yeah. And give so a shout out to your Twitch. What is it?
It's Ellie on the telly with two Y's because someone already had my bloody
fuck
handle.
Off. Is that yeah. the reason why?
Yeah.
Oh, my
yeah.
God.
So it's two Y's, even though my Instagram's only one.
Oh, right. No. Who's this other person?
I don't know.
We,
yeah.
With the power of Viva, we will crush
thank you.
Them. And
thank
you can reclaim that.
Thank you.
But so you are going to start streaming again?
I am, yeah. I genuinely hell yeah. am. Awesome. Yeah. I'm excited.
Hell yeah.
Oh, awesome. I'm glad to hear that because you kind of
it was a natural
did it for a
thing.
Bit and then it died out.
Yeah, it was honestly to do with me moving house and literally in 2021 moved house and then never had a place to reset my streaming kit up, and so I just went I just don't stream anymore I guess. But now I've got a new room, so I'm gonna be able
hell
to do
yeah.
that.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Oh my God. It feels like quite a natural fit.
Yes.
I think.
Yeah, and I really enjoyed streaming when I did. I really enjoyed interacting with the community and just kind of chatting.
Yeah,
I can chat a lot as you can hear on the podcast.
Yeah, I remember you were streaming Fall Guys. Was that your main game?
Yeah, I was streaming Fall Guys and I was streaming GeoGuessr, which is not necessarily a game.
Yeah.
It's in the browser, but you've got to work out where you are in the world.
You were streaming GeoGuessr.
Yeah.
I've seen the clips on Reddit of the guy who's just like hardcore. Like, here.
Yeah, I can't do that.
Yeah. That's all I've seen.
Oh, that was quite exposing to me because the reason that's such a good game to stream with is because the audience is international. So someone from France might go, oh, I know that's France, and they can kind of help me with it.
That's
but
cool.
then I'd get exposed.
Okay, cheater.
I'm a cheater. But then it would expose me because they'd be like, yeah, that's France. Okay, sweet. So and then if you go to the map and find France on the map, and I'd be like, yeah, so that's France.
Oh,
yeah,
no. That's,
like,
oh,
now, bro, genuinely.
That's continent of Europe.
Yeah, yeah literally. Right. One day I went to look for like Mexico in Spain or something, and people were like, oh, Ellie, that's like nowhere near where you're looking for. Like, yeah, it was yeah.
I really
want to
do like, I just really want to do a competition between us and Adam and just get a blank map and just name as many places as we could.
Oh, this is, you're going to expose me.
I'm going to expose you. You'll get at least two. You'll get New Zealand, Australia, and then the rest is just like, fuck, I don't know.
Don't know.
Important question, Ellie. Favorite film out of Lord of the Rings, Matrix, or Star Wars? What's out of those three pivotal movies that everybody's seen? What's the fave?
Yeah, look. Fellowship of the Ring is a classic, isn't it?
It is a classic. What's your favorite part and stuff?
Yep. Does Gollum do something in that?
I mean, he's briefly there.
Hang on. I already know you've never seen Star Wars and Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
Have you not seen The Matrix?
I don't have a memory of it. I think maybe I was shown it as a kid, but I don't remember it. Like, I couldn't tell you what it's about.
What are we going to do about this?
It's outrageous. What am I fired?
I'm actually excited for you to see The Matrix.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Do you like movies?
Not really.
Kind of.
Oh, wow, really?
I don't. It's weird. For me, if someone goes, do you want to go watch a movie? In my head, it's more about, it's quite a task. Like, it's like, oh, so I've now got to spend 2.5 to 3 hours watching something, not doing anything else with my hands. It's the sitting
still for me. It's just like legit, potentially an ADHD thing.
I think it is. I think it's an ADHD thing for me where I'm just like, oh, I've got to sit there for two or three hours. I can't even do anything.
At what point, is there a certain degree of like anxiety leading in? Into it, knowing that you're like locked down in this potential prison for 2 hours, or is it?
It's not so much anxiety; it's more like a small bit of dread. Like I'm like, oh, am I going to enjoy this? I hope I enjoy this. That's why I like movies that are like musical, because there's like songs and like colours that can like keep me entertained.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
And I also find that I love TV series. Like I like watching things. I love TV series
because
it's like 20 minutes, and then I go, did I like that? I did like that. I'll keep watching.
Yeah.
Whereas a movie, it's like. You got to pick up all of the lore immediately, follow it. I find that hard, and then it's all over.
I'll edit the Matrix down into 20-minute chunks for you.
Well, yeah.
And then you can just like digest them differently.
It's like a little TV series. Thank you.
That is really interesting. Like, I think we finally got to the heart of it, actually, that you don't actually like movies.
Yeah.
That's quite a revelation now.
Kind of.
I know that's a broad statement.
Yeah, I do. Yeah. But they have to be specific movies.
Do you ever go to the movie theater, or is the idea of like, because that's definitively where you're trapped and you can't use your phone. You're in a seat.
Yeah.
Surrounded by other people. You can't pause it and get up and leave.
Yeah, not often. I mean, I went and saw Barbie twice because I really enjoyed that.
Barbie was great.
Yeah, and all the colors were great. And for example, like I went and saw Hairspray 7 times at the movies when that was out. Wow. So when I'm obsessed with a movie, I'll go and see it like 7 times.
Wow.
Hairspray,
I've never seen that one. I know there's the star-studded cast.
Yeah,
I remember that, but I haven't seen
it. I love it. Yeah, I just love musical stuff. So I don't often go to the movies, no. And often, this is actually quite a bit of an issue in our relationship, me and Sam, my partner, because he'll be like, all right, Al, should we watch a movie tonight? And I'm like,
yeah.
He's like, oh, you don't want to, do you? And I'm like, oh, just a bit tired. I might fall asleep. And then often I'll fall asleep. If we do put it on, I'll just fall asleep.
Yeah.
Oh, you just
you give it a go though. And
yes,
bless you.
Sometimes. Yeah. Some, probably not enough in Sam's books, but
no, I absolutely, because in my experience, watching things together is not always the best time together. Not always. Like, especially these days, sometimes you kind of put thing on, and you both end up kind of going like.
Yeah,
and half scrolling on your half phone. Watching. Yeah. And you're kind of in the same room. Sorry, I've just gone away from my microphone. You're like. Technically in the same room, but I totally get that.
Yeah.
Unless you're both really engaged and you both really want to experience this movie together.
Yeah.
So I do like movies, but I like specific movies, and it takes a lot to really make me do it. But for fun, if we do want to do content with me watching those movies, I'd love to do that. I definitely would. But yeah, it's not my natural go-to. I'd go with a TV show first.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For those of you at home, we're talking about a potential series just introducing Ali to these absolute classic films, and I don't know what the can you hire out cinemas and like.
Oh, I don't know.
I love the idea of
What I like. So there we go. Okay, we're gonna force you to sit through the Fellowship of the Ring, and then she watches it, and we're watching her the whole time.
Yeah.
And then at the end, we got all right. We've got questions for her. Yeah. Right. What was your favorite part, Ali?
Favorite part.
Yeah. And what did you think of the bit with what when like and yeah yeah and were you expecting that?
There'll be a camera on you the whole time, and just so you'll just be sitting there like frozen in terror.
I'm panicking already.
I'm a little bit jealous of like. Well, it'll be interesting to see. There are certain films that watching them for the first time was such a pivotal moment in my life.
Yeah.
Of which all three, Star Wars, Matrix, and Lord of the Rings, are that.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, it's like the twists and the ups and downs of the Matrix, which I'm super jealous of.
You get to experience
the Matrix for the first time.
Okay,
I'm
cool. I'm
so
excited.
Jealous.
You must know the basic plot.
I don't really.
That's a fucking amazing.
Yeah, I actually don't.
We could get a genuine reaction.
God, I'm jealous.
I'm so jealous.
I'm so jealous.
So Star Wars and Lord of the Rings, the overall atmosphere and tone and just feeling and storytelling and world building of those films, I'm jealous about, but it's I loved and fell in love with, but the journey of the twists, the ups and downs of the Matrix, you can't beat it.
Okay. Ooh,
so not to
actually the Star Wars, the old ones,
okay,
they'll feel dated. You'll be like, oh, this is old.
Yeah. Yeah, genuinely. You might hate it actually. So what do you do to unwind then if you're not watching movies?
I watch TV shows, that's true.
Yeah.
I play video games or like PlayStation. What else do I do? I play, I just hang out with my cats, might have a nap. do a bit of doom scrolling.
Hang out with my cats, might have a nap.
I think the one that I really identified with there was, I think a big part of this is the doom scrolling.
Is it probably more
than the TV shows?
Mm-hmm. I do doom scroll a bit too much, I would say. Yeah.
Mine's edging up again.
Yeah.
These are the worst thing that's ever happened for human attention span, but also especially for ADHD.
Yeah,
like they just feed the monster, don't they?
They do, and so it can be you can just get so distracted so easily once you get hooked in an algorithm on TikTok or something. For example, it's hard to actually move on to the next task from there. It's quite hard.
Yeah.
So yeah, bit of doom scrolling, cats, naps. Yeah.
That's a lot.
Yeah, bit of tennis sometimes actually.
You play tennis?
Yeah, Paige and I, my sister, we and Sam started tennis about a year ago. We kind of just do it in our free time. It's fun.
Look at you doing physical exercise and stuff. Woo! Yeah. Plans, ambitions, 5-year plan.
Oh, yes. Ooh, that's a big one.
Where do you want to be in 5 years, Ellie?
Oh, oh, that's hard, actually. Yeah. You know, this
are you somebody that looks ahead like that, or not? Like, kind of just take it day by day.
Sort of, but then I try, and then I just end up getting scared, so I just ignore it.
Yeah,
I'm just,
right.
Oh, I'm just in the moment. Yeah, nothing to see there. I'll just stay.
I think
here.
It's a healthy way to be, to be honest.
Yeah,
maybe.
But then I guess I feel like if you don't have a direction, you can end up 5 years later going, "What have I even done for the last 5 years?"
Yeah,
and it feels like you've lost all that time. But I think 5 year ambitions. I'd love to still be acting with you guys if we're still doing that, and like
I think we'll still be doing that.
Yeah, I'd love to be writing more, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd love if I was maybe doing a couple more podcasts. I'd love to be doing more podcasts.
What
else? I mean, maybe at that point there might be a child involved if Sam and I do that. But again, it's like
isn't it scary? Taking that leap is
how long
ago?
I want to dive into this. You're a woman.
I'm a woman. Yeah, I have a uterus.
I have a uterus.
I actually noticed that,
I'm
a girl. A woman.
We noticed this a while ago, actually.
Something I've been meaning to talk to you
about. Well done.
So the pressure.
You didn't. You'd failed to tell us this.
Just figured it out, yeah.
So the pressure of being a woman and babies, how do you find that pressure?
It's a lot, because mainly because of the biological situation where in 5 years from now, I'll be nearly 37. You could still have babies then, but there's a higher risk. And you kind of go like, oh, should I be doing it now just to be safe? What if I get to 37 and then I'm like, oh, I do really want babies, and now my body's making that decision for me. That's a bit scary. So I do feel that biological pressure. And then there's also just an element of, I think this is everyone, the older you get, the older you're going to be for your kid. And then the older your parents, if you're still lucky enough to have your parents, they're going to be older
grandparents.
Yeah, so there's just all that going on. There's a lot going on in my head about it,
I mean, it's a complex enough issue, speaking for myself as a man, and I can only imagine how much harder it is for a woman.
Yeah.
Because you've got a clock that's ticking away.
And then it's just the balance after the fact of like, now because you've got so many ambitions, like personally and professionally, that balancing the child and or children with that is a real
you kind of do as a woman have to sacrifice a bit of your life and career just to have a baby, which I'm not necessarily opposed to, but it is going to be a change of like, oh, I don't have that time for that thing anymore. So I'm very, very aware of that.
It feels so unfair that nature just kind of went like, hey, you kind of just have to, your body's going to get fucked.
And then you're
going to be the primary kind of, your life is on hold.
Yeah.
Like, it really does feel like you go and pause for your life for the next couple of years. No, just deal with it.
And then try and pick up from where you left off, and good luck.
Exactly, and everyone's moved on like 2 years.
And now you're expected to, society expects you now to just like continue to have a career. And
it's really hard, And then my partner and I, he's started his own business doing video and photo. He's a photographer and a videographer. So I'm really supporting that. That's another thing I'm doing at the moment, is supporting that business, our business kind of thing. But even that, like, I would be the one that would have to tap out and have the baby and look after the baby, because Sam would be running our business, which I'm happy for him to do. But again, it's just, there's so much to think about.
Oh my God. It's very much it's the same situation with Chelsea and I. Like, she is just, she's the stay-at-home mom.
Yeah.
And it's a really rough job. Like, sometimes I get back from a real tense day at the office and I get back home and it's like, oh no, you've had just as rough, if not rougher.
Yeah.
Being a mom and just like maintaining, like, there's no real way that she could have a, without sending the kids off to preschool all day, every day.
Yeah, there's no break, is there?
There's no break.
No break, yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah, we'll just wait another few years.
Yeah, just hold off.
That's why me and Claire are very happy with our decision to have kids.
Oh, absolutely.
We've had a whole podcast about this.
We've had a whole podcast about this. Check it out in this episode, like, 2 or 3 or something. Message for the fans. Like, what's your, like, we gotta wrap this up. What's your outro?
Mic
drop.
Oh, my mic drop. First of all, I am so proud to work for People of Dirt League, and I have fun at People of Dirt League, and I'm honored that I'm still here after so long, and I want to continue to be creative with you guys. And I really, really appreciate the fans of People of Dirt League.
Yeah, absolutely.
Our community is so lovely and tight-knit, and I see people just getting along together on the Facebook squad or in Discord and making friends, and it like makes my heart genuinely happy.
Some relationships that have started in the Viva fandom, eh?
Really,
are there any
sweet
Viva kitties?
I actually don't know if there's kids.
I'm pretty sure there must be at least one child that's named after me.
Named after you.
Oh, yeah. So. There's a lot of dogs, I think, named after you guys as well. Like, oh, people naming their dogs,
I'll take
it.
That's hell yeah. I'll take that. Hell yeah.
I just, something I wrote in, up a little bit higher was... it's actually crazy that you kind of do embody some pretty large milestones in Viva, being one of, like, the bigger one being our first employee.
Yeah.
But then we spoke about it in one of the earlier videos about, like, the first real viral video was, it was you. It was the, and that was, like, I remember that video was the thing that made me go, holy shit, this is, like, a real potential future for us, was the Girl Gamer VR sketch that just went gangbusters and... subscribers came flooding in. It was like, I don't know, it's just kind of, it's kind of amazing what, like, what you represent within Viva.
I do feel like I have a special little place in the history, weirdly.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
No matter where Viva gets to, those are two milestones that will just always be massive milestones.
Yeah. Yeah.
And to wrap it up, we love having you as part of the team. Aww. Thank you for choosing
Thank
us.
Thank you for being part of the
Thank
Viva.
You for being
Thank
part
you
of
guys.
Us. You have absolutely killed it.
Thank you.
And long may this last.
Yes, I hope so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really enjoy it. And I, I'm looking forward to, like, going to hopefully other fan conventions in the future. Hopefully. I'd love to meet more people overseas.
So would we.
Yeah,
yeah, we,
I know.
We want the conventions listening to this.
Oh, please listen.
Please listen, conventions.
Armageddon this year.
We're doing Armageddon
in
Auckland.
And I'm coming.
You're coming
to that. Yeah, so I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, yeah. That'll be cool. That'll be cool. Yeah.
Now, I want to wrap us out, but over there.
Oh, yeah, the board's over there.
Hang on. This is the, what we're dealing with here. Hang on, yeah. Okay, I'm going to wrap us out.
All right, here we go.
Okay, here we go.
Ali Bobelli.
Yo. Ha. Yeah, we talked about Allie in the early days. She came at a party, was like, I love your ways. She said, hey, yo, I wanna do some skits. She did a lot of skits and she did a lot of
other bits.
Then she said, hey, I could be an employee. I could do your social media, do your social media.
Yeah.
I was like, chur.
Yeah.
You were like, chur.
I was
She was like, chur. We were like, chur.
This is definitively the best. You actually told a story.
I
there were some rhymes in there.
Yeah.
That's good. That was
not bad.
I'm honored that I was the inspiration for that beautiful rap. That was lovely.
That was dope.
Ali Ball Belly. Beefy Fire for Felly.
Yeah.
Ali Ball Belly.
Ali.
Beefy Fire for Felly. Ali Ball Belly. Her name is Ali. Her name is Ali.
Ali Ball Belly. Ali on the telly. Ali on the telly. Follow her on Twitch. Yeah.
What's the name of your podcast again?
Extremely Casual Gamers.
Extremely Casual Gamers.
Mic drop.
Mic drop.
Bye.